Ksuvas Perek Ches Mishnah Beis 8:2. The previous Mishnah asked the question: if a woman sells her nechse malug, her property she brings into the marriage that isn't written in the ksuba, it's hers, but her husband's going to have right to the peros, usufruct rights. If she sells it, is that sale binding? And the answer was, it depends. It depended on when she came into possession of that property. If it was before they got married, she could sell it. And if it's after she got married, then she can't, if she came into possession of it, then she can't sell it. I'm oversimplifying, of course. But here in our Mishnah base, we ask the same question, which is, if a woman comes to certain property, which is her property, is nechse malug. Again, she could inherit it, she could find it, she could be gifted it, and she then sells it. Is that sale binding? And again, we have Rabbi Shimon here who says, it depends, but his answer is it depends on something else. It doesn't depend on when she came into possession of it per se, but rather whether or not her husband knows about its existence. And that's what the Mishnah says inside. It says, Rabbi Shimon cholek bein nechasim lenechasim. Rabbi Shimon differentiates between different types of property. Again, usually the different types of property are nechse tzon barzel versus nechse malug. And the halacha is, when it comes to tzon barzel, things she brings in that are appraised and she gets a fixed value written to her ksuba, everybody agrees. Under all circumstances, she can't sell it because it's not hers to sell. She essentially sold it to her husband at the time of the marriage for a fixed amount of money. But here, the corpus, the actual property itself, the asset, belongs to her. So Rabbi Shimon says it depends. What does it depend upon? Nechasim hayadum labaal, property that the husband knew about, lo timkor, she may not sell. Vimachra v'nasna batel, and if she does attempt to sell it, or to give it away for that matter, then batel, her sale or her gifting, is annulled by him. He can get it back. Now, v'she'ena yidum labal, and property that the husband didn't know about, lo timkor, she may not sell. Vimachra, but if she did sell it, v'nasna, or she gave it away, kayam, then that sale or that gift is binding. The husband can't undo it. So what are nechasim hayadum labaal? Properties that the, or assets that the husband did know about, or does know about. So there are two approaches in the Gemara. One approach in the Gemara is we're differentiating between real assets, like property, and chattels, metaltlin, other objects. And the thought is that when it comes to property, there's a kol, there's a voice, meaning people can find out, people know about these things. And therefore, even if we're talking about a property she hasn't inherited yet, it still belongs to her, you know, great uncle, whatever it is, but it's known that she is the heiress to this property one day. That already is included in properties that the husband knows about, even if she inherits it before, during, or after, you know, their marriage process. He knew about it. When it comes to metaltlin, movable objects, you know, some rings she got from her grandmother, so he may not know about it, because how does he know about every ring that she gets from her grandmother? He couldn't know about it necessarily. The other approach is that indeed he makes it his business to know, he knows about things she inherited, even we're talking about, you know, movable objects. And when something said to be something he did know about, let's say it means that she had some, you know, great uncle that lived abroad, that he died and left her something and no one knew about it. So the point is she did inherit it, but they didn't know. Now, the rationale why it depends upon what the husband knows about is because the husband has that as part of the calculus. When he decides to marry this woman, he's thinking, this is my wife, and the rule is that he has to redeem her if she's held in captivity, held hostage, kidnapped. And he's not allowed to say, you know, you have your own money, we'll get divorced, we'll get your payout and deal with this yourself. He can't say that. Now, obviously, in his calculation, he can't consider things he hasn't come into, that he doesn't know about, that he would say, you know, he would think that. And therefore, one pshat in the Mishnah, the pshat I'm saying here, is that he, things he doesn't know about didn't come into the calculus, he didn't know about it, and therefore he has no claim on it. So although she ought not to sell it, that's what we're saying here, she shouldn't sell it, says Rabbi Shimon, because really he has rights to those peros, and if she would predecease him, he would inherit that stuff. But since he has no claim on it, since he didn't know about it yet, and therefore he didn't consider it, so therefore she, if she did sell it, since it's hers, she owns a corpus of it, and he didn't know about it yet, so therefore that sale is binding. Now, it comes out that Rabbi Shimon has both a kula and a chorma, a leniency and a stringency relative to the previous Mishnah. Because on the one hand, he's saying that things that the husband knew about, even if she came into possession of them, or she even didn't even She hadn't even inherited them. But either she came with possession of them before they got married. Still, she can't sell it because he knew about it and that was part of his calculations. That's a stringency, meaning we're finding, so to speak, in favor of the husband. On the other hand, we're saying, let's say she inherited, you know, she had a cousin in Sweden who, you know, left her something in the will, which he didn't know about, of course, and they didn't hear about it, and she found out and sold it before he got wind of it. Even if that happens after they're married, even though the previous Mishnah said, whatever she sells that she comes into possession with of after they get married, she cannot sell, and any such sale would be nullified by him. Here, Rabbi Shimon's saying, no, since he didn't know about it, and she sold it before he found out about it, even though she only came into possession of it after they got married, the sale is binding. So that would be, I'll call it a leniency, meaning we're finding in favor of her relative to the previous Mishnah. Okay, lahalacha, as I mentioned in the previous Mishnah, the general rule is that any sale he gets the upper hand largely, meaning whatever she sells, during the marriage, he can undo because he can say, listen, I have rights to the peros, the output of that property, the dividends, and therefore you can't sell it. But one exception to that is if we have, I'll call it, both of these opinions ticked off, lakula, meaning if she sells something that he didn't know about and she came into possession of it prior to them getting married, so both the opinions, the previous mission, this one, both said that sale could be binding. She shouldn't do it, but if she did do it after they're married, it is binding. So then the halacha is that sale would be binding.